This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Dulu mereka menyanjung. Menyanjung Tun Mahathir ni, kalau sambil belu tu, belum Mahathir cakap, dia dah sokong. Sekarang mereka yang memuja dahulu, mereka lah yang maki hamun Tun Mahathir Mohamad. Tapi sebaliknya, kami yang berlawan dulu, sekarang jadi kawan.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It's Friday at 2 p.m, so once again, we're highlighting yet another insightful film from the Freedom Film Festival's archives. This time, we're going to look at the documentary film Saving Malaysia. So this 2017 film looked at the Pakatan Harapan coalition that emerged to, quote-unquote, save Malaysia, and which saw all political enemies become allies to topple the Barisan Nasional-led government of the day. So I'm going to find out more about what the film explored from its director, Sheridan Mahavira, who is also a former journalist and a current program manager for the Freedom Film Network. Welcome, Sheridan. How are you today?
Thank you for having me on, Juliet. Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. So, a very interesting film. You know, it was a good reminder of, you know, all the shenanigans that happened prior to GE14. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But can we start, just to quickly find out about you, Sheridan? I mean, your name is no stranger to me. I mean, it's very familiar. We've seen your work as a journalist for years. You are a former journalist now, and you're now currently working with Freedom Film Festival. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've been a journalist for close to 20 years, and in those 20 years, I've covered mostly politics, issues concerning democracy in Malaysia, and then the intersection between religion, race, and democracy, and a lot of economics. But I was particularly interested in the era that the film is about, takes place, which is the 2016-2017 era. Mm-hmm. Because that was a time, but then if you think about it, it also happens before general elections in Malaysia. It was a time of acute hopelessness. I wouldn't say hopelessness, but it was a time when people struggled to find hope in the political leaders that were around at that time. And I wanted to do a film that addressed that because I was also feeling the same things, you know. Whether or not you could actually trust Dr. Mahathir Mohamad at that time, right? Because he had a very long legacy of 23 years of ruling Malaysia. And in that legacy, he has been accused of, perhaps justifiably, of damaging Malaysian democracy, damaging the institutions, Malaysian institutions, and the consequences of which you can see even till today. Yeah. So it was... It's basically a personal project for me also, you know, as a citizen, as a voter, to go out there and try and figure out whether or not you can trust these people who are asking for your trust and whether there was hope.
And,
you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I think all of us remember that time and this is very uneasy alliance that had suddenly emerged, right? It sounded like, you're like, wow, only in Malaysia these things happen. It sounded so unreal, isn't it? Mahathir Mohamad, you know, collaborating with Anwar Ibrahim, what has happened? I mean, it was crazy times. But before we get to that film, you know, very quickly, you also managed the Freedom Film Network's program to reform film censorship now, am I correct? Because you're no longer a journalist.
Yes, I've been doing that for the past year. This is actually it's the anniversary of the first year I've joined Freedom Film Network.
Nice.
And the work is very interesting. And actually what we have discovered in the Freedom Film Network is that I think a lot of your listeners are aware of the many problematic laws that Malaysia has, such as the Sedition Act, the Communications Multimedia Act, the Printing and Presses Act, right? Mm-hmm. These are the acts that impinge upon freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, for citizens.
Yeah.
They affect society that way. But what a lot of people don't know is that the Film Censorship Act is probably, in my view, and in the research that we've done, is that it's probably the most pernicious in its impact on society because it is the reason why when you look at social progress or ideas such as human rights, why ideas such as human rights, gender equality, freedom of speech are not as mainstream in Malaysia compared to neighboring countries such as Indonesia and even Thailand.
Yeah.
You know, and those countries have a very robust, very strong civil society. And you can even see, even in rural areas, somehow Thais and Indonesians have a stronger appreciation for human rights, for freedom of speech, you know, for the right of the small person to stand up against a corporation, against our politicians. Whereas over here, you know, those things are very much underappreciated. And the reason is because of this, the Film Censorship Act, because it prevents these ideas from becoming mainstream, because it prevents the transmission of these ideas through popular media, which is film and television.
Yeah. And I think we saw that, that fear happening with, you know, Freedom Film Fest. Anna Howe was, her home was raided, you know, the all about the
office was raided.
The office was raided, sorry. But her home also was visited, if I remember.
Yes, the police officers came to her home and those of the other five activists in July, over a film that we did about case of police brutality that happened in 2018 and which actually has been investigated by Suhakam itself.
Exactly. And of course, you know, the issues that were highlighted in the film was not the thing that was being investigated. It was the people talking about the issues that were being investigated. Here we are, isn't it? Very hopeful on a Friday after Deepavali, aren't we? But no, let's focus on positive things. Let's talk about the film Saving Malaysia. So again, you know, this was I think it was released in 2017, right? But you were working on it in the 2016, 2017 period. I guess, you know, as the film's director, you know, how would you describe it? You know, what were you setting about to discuss in the film when you made it?
So, like I said in the beginning, it was more of a process of trying to find hope at a time where things were very confusing and where it seemed like the hope did not exist. You know, I have friends who are Malay Muslim middle class and also non-Malay Muslim. Because, I mean, I had friends who were from the Malaysian middle class and they tend to think that, you know, oh, there is no hope in Malaysia, you know, at that time and things will never change.
Yeah.
You might as well either join them or give up hope and stop fighting or just leave Malaysia, right? And the third option was, of course, like, you know, do you want to fight it? And is there any point of fighting these things?
Yeah.
Because at that time, you know, you had a prime minister and a prime minister that was accused of committing one of the biggest frauds, you know, according to the Department of Justice in the US, not my terms, but, you know, one of the biggest frauds in Malaysian history. He's still being tried for it. He's been found guilty of it. And this guy was in charge and the whole government was behind him at that time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us realized that this was a very big problem and if you do not stop it, the legacy is very bad. And you can see the legacy now because now we have Malaysians own various credit institutions, 32 billion. And if you think about it, you know, this is 32 billion that we owe.
Yeah.
We don't have anything to show for it. We didn't build schools for it. You know, we didn't build new hospitals for it. You know, and so this is the price that we have had to pay because we didn't stop it earlier on.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, a lot of CSOs and a lot of politicians, especially from the Pakatan Harapan side, were you know, campaigning that, you know, we need to stop this and we need to stop this. And it seemed almost impossible because the juggernaut of the Barisan Nasional was just so confident and it was being led by somebody who was very politically cunning and very canny, to the point whereby even on the eve of the general election, he said that, you know, Barisan Nasional will rule for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
This is his exact words. And but then on the other side, you know, the people who are trying to change the country, they were wondering, like, is this really the right thing to work with an ex-prime minister who had also put us in jail, you know, in his 23 years. And he basically created the system that allowed Najib, ex-Prime Minister Najib Razak, to ascend. And he was the person who chose Najib Razak to ascend.
He was a mentor.
He was a mentor. In fact, you know, he's gone on record numerous times to say that, yes, I chose Dato' Sri Najib Razak, you know. Of course, and he says, of course, I didn't know he was a thief. And that is his reason, you see, for working with Anwar, right? Mm-hmm. Working with Muhammad Sabu, working with Lim Guan Eng to bring down Dato' Sri Najib Razak. So what I wanted to explore is whether or not you can trust Dr. Mahathir. Mm-hmm. And the way that I approached the film was to ask these people, the people that were trying to also, like Muhammad Sabu, like Nik Nazmi, like Nurul Izzah, you know, trying to figure out, like, are we really doing the right thing, you know? And is this going to stab us in the back one day, right? Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Sheraton move happened, but then it's a bit different. So, but then at least, you know, the film is about, the time frame is that, you know, from 2016, 2017 to the general election. What happens after the general election is something different. You know, in fact, it's not like Muhammad Sabu said. It's like, you know, it's hard to have political guarantees, you know, in politics. But at least what we want to concentrate on is the general election. Mm-hmm. What happens after that? We can always speculate what happens after that. But if you don't put your trust, if you don't have that faith in something that is very difficult, something that seems very, very scary, you won't have that future to speculate on anyway, because you will lose and Najib would still be in power.
I think we all remember, like, I mean, they were very aware of the conflicts, you know, the pitfalls, everything of working with, you know, Tun Mahathir. And but of course, at the time, everyone was just united, as in these parties were united in wanting to remove Dato' Sri Najib. That was the biggest priority at the time, isn't it?
So, but the difficulty was basically convincing their supporters.
Mm-hmm,
the political parties like Lim Guan Eng, like, you know, all those people that you saw in the Pakatan Harapan convention, right?
Yeah.
Lim Guan Eng, Muhammad Sabu, Nurul Izzah was even there. The only person that was missing was, Muhyiddin was there. The only person that was missing was Anwar, and that's because Anwar was in jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Wan Azizah was there, you know, sitting next to the person who put her husband in jail.
Yeah.
They seem convinced, but their supporters did not. And that is why I featured that one talk with Muhammad Sabu right there. And that was that whole room was filled with, you know, long-time activists of Pakatan Harapan. And these were the people that Pakatan Harapan had to count on to go out to get votes. And if you didn't convince the machinery to work for you, then that's it. They'll not go out to work for you, and then you won't get the votes.
So. We're going to go for a quick break, but when we come back, Sheridan, let's talk about, you know, all the people that you did feature in the film. I'm speaking today to Sheridan Mahavira. He is a former journalist. He's the director of the film Saving Malaysia, which is going to be re-released on the Freedom Film Network's YouTube channel this weekend. We're finding out more about it. We've got more coming up after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Mahathir mempunyai kudrat dan iradat untuk memenangi hati Melayu. Saya daripada bersih bertahun-tahun. Tak pernah. Saya ini 4 bulan dulu saya, Tony Pua, saya dengan San Mongol pergi berceramah di Felda, Pahang. 13 orang saja yang datang. Gedebe besar. Tony Pua, Syamuddin Rais, San Mongol dan Kasturi. DAP punya giant datang. 13 orang. Tak pulang modal. Tapi kami juga terpaksa lah kan. Berceramah jugalah. Tak fikir lah. 13 orang, yang 7 orang tu orang DAP. Tak apa. Ini hakikat. Now, Pakatan Harapan able to go to Felda. The no-go area. Wilayah-wilayah yang pada satu ketika dulu tidak dapat masuk, telah dapat dimasuki dan nebus.
I don't see the reformists. I'm sorry. I honestly hope, that at the end of this, I'm proved to be wrong. I would happily say I was wrong because he has turned out to be the reformist and he has delivered everything that we need. I'll be happy to come back again here and say, guys, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Mahathir, can I kiss your feet?
Sorry, are you going to hold him or hold you that promise you?
That I'll kiss his feet.
If you are.
I would gladly kiss the soles of his feet if I'm wrong.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me today is Sheridan Mahavira. He's a former journalist. He's the director of the short film Saving Malaysia, which is a documentary film looking at the sort of uneasy alliance that was the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. And, you know, this 2017 film is being re-released on the Freedom Film Network's YouTube channel this weekend. So we're finding out more about it. So Sheridan, you know, before the break, you were telling me all about, you know, why you wanted to make this film. And you were speaking about some of the people who you featured in the documentary itself. For those who haven't seen it yet, maybe you can just sort of share who are the people that you feature, the personalities, you know, who they were and why you chose them in particular.
So the thing is, actually, let me start the answer to that question with another question, actually, that I get from when I was making the film and by other people who have watched the film, was that why didn't I feature Dr. Mahathir? You know, why didn't I interview him?
Okay.
And the answer to that is because Dr. Mahathir had been interviewed numerous times by other people. You know, he said what he said. He said what he needed to say, what he believed in, why he was working with Anwar, why he decided to work with Pakatan Harapan, why he was going to try and bring down Najib, you know. And that's been said by, and you could go on, at that point, you could go on to YouTube and find interviews of him everywhere.
Yeah.
But what was not featured was, you know, were the people who were supposed to go and work for him. And these were the Pakatan Harapan people, and these were the Pakatan Harapan supporters who suffered under him. And I decided to feature them. So I got in touch with Nurul Izzah, you know. She's still a very, very influential leader in Pakatan Harapan, and I think even in Malaysia. And of course, she had to deal with a lot of trauma and a lot of pain from seeing her dad, because she's the oldest daughter of Anwar Ibrahim, and she was there, and she had vivid memories of when the police came to drag her father away to jail. So she was very traumatized by it, and she built her career on fighting for her father to be released, but also fighting to end the system that would imprison people like her father, just because her father was a politician who went up against the Barisan National establishment at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That I decided to feature like people like Haris Ibrahim and Kua Kia Song. And Haris and Kua Kia Song are also longtime civil society leaders. They're known for their very strong principles, they themselves, you know, like Kua Kia Song was imprisoned. He was the longest serving detainee under Ops Lalang in 1987. Yeah.
Okay.
Also a fierce critic of Dr. Mahathir as well as Haris Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get their take on it. And I also wanted to feature other Pakatan Harapan activists. Some were people from Bersatu, you know, about how they felt working with Pakatan Harapan. Some were people who were from UMNO previously, and I wanted to see find out what they thought about when it came to working with political parties that they fought against. Just to give some historical context, also the thing about shifting alliances, it's not something new also in Malaysian politics. As you can recall, you know, Semangat 46, Semangat 46, which was established in 1990 by Tengku Razali Hamzah, went to contest against UMNO, worked with PAS. Razali Hamzah was a Kelantan UMNO leader. He worked with his old nemesis, which is Nik Aziz Nikmat, you know, of PAS. And they defeated UMNO in Kelantan, Barisan Nasional in Kelantan. So shifting alliances are not different. It's just that in this case, right, the people who were involved in these shifting alliances were people who had undergone a lot of trauma at the hands of people like Dr. Mahathir.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe you even argue Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as well. Muhyiddin Yassin, when he was an UMNO minister at that time. So I set out to try and talk to these people and from the interviews of these people to see whether or not you know they had hope of working constructively with Dr. Mahathir to bring down Najib, and whether they could trust Dr. Mahathir.
Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating, right? Because, you know, as we said before, they all knew that they had to do something together, and they knew that they needed Dr. Mahathir to do that, right? I mean, that's something that you also showcase in the film, right? That they needed that support of the Malay Muslim voters as well. And that's something that, you know, Tun Mahathir and his followers, you know, could provide and could, you know, shift, right? Because that was that was basically something that he had in his hands, right? You know, when you were making the film, did you approach others? You know, were you turned down by some people who maybe thought, yeah, you know, you were trying to like do some unnecessary stirring, basically?
No. I think the people I met, kind of saw the intention of the film. I think, you know, especially like Haris, Kwakiasong, and Aroiza. I think they saw clearly what I was trying to do. I don't remember being turned down by anyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's good.
I didn't approach the Barisan National side, you know. And the reason I didn't approach the Barisan National side was because it wasn't a film about Barisan National, you know. It was about the opponents of Barisan National at that time. Yeah. So, no, I wasn't. You know, but maybe if I had approached people from Barisan National, maybe they would have turned me down.
Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah. But, you know, now when you look back at the film, right, and, you know, everything that's happened in the last two crazy years, right, how do you feel about what was discussed and brought up in the documentary? You know, looking back, now that we've got Lanka Sheraton as well, you know, in the picture since all of this happened.
Not just Lanka Sheraton, it's just like another government after Lanka Sheraton.
Oh my God,
right?
Yes.
Lanka Sheraton brought down one government, and then there's another government that brought down Lanka the Lanka Sheraton government.
In the midst of a global pandemic, of course.
All in the midst of the global pandemic. So what I've come to realize is that, you know, it's just like Muhammad Sabu said, man, there are no guarantees in politics, you know. It's very true. And the thing is, it's like what I've also realized, I think what a lot of Malaysians have also realized, and, you know, and I have to quote the political analyst, Dr. Wong Chin Hwai, you know, and he said, and he, you know, he's been a very good public educator to educate Malaysians about, you know, the political process. And he says that, you know, it's always not a straight line, and shifting political alliances is the norm. And this is the process of democracy. Mm-hmm. You know, he said very early on after the after Pakatan Harapan had won in GE14, he said in a public talk that he said, like, look, you know, This is the political system that we have now. And, you know, this is, you have to decide as citizens, is that, do you want to deal with this messy process? Because it is a messy process. Or do you just want to give it to, like, say, an authoritarian leader, a dictator who will decide everything for you?
Yeah.
You know, those are the two choices that you have. And if you want to continue to have a say and you want to continue to have a vote, this is the thing that you have to do. And all countries go through this, you know. When you look at Germany, for instance, it's probably like one of the most well-known examples of, you know, allies working together with enemies. And then, you know, after the general election, enemies during the general election become allies, form the government. You know, these type of compromises are always made. But what is always important is to see whether or not, you know, the policies of each political party, the promises that they make to you, whether or not they keep to those promises, and whether if a party says that when I come in, I'm going to abolish the death penalty. So does that happen? Or does it, when they make a new alliance, do they throw away that promise? Those are the important things, the policy promises that they make. And I think, even though, yes, we are in a situation now that's a lot messier than 2016, 2017, I think, you know, I know it's very tiring, but yes, it's incumbent upon citizens in a democracy to try to find time to sift through all the noise and decide on the political parties that best represent them based on what these political parties say and based on what they do. And their policy platforms.
Okay. No, I fully agree with you. But, you know, there's so much fatigue, right? Because everybody's saying, look, I exercised my voting rights. I did all of that. But look what's happened. You know, two governments since the government that I elected in.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And I totally agree with that. It's very tiring. And also, like right now, when it comes to, you know, we face a new era of hopelessness. And the hopelessness is this, is in the system itself, right? Mm. Is that, you know, if I vote for somebody from Pakatan Harapan or I vote somebody from Perikatan Nasional, I mean, what is to stop this person from jumping over to the other side, right? So what, you know, does my vote matter or not?
Yeah.
I think that's it's a big question. It's a big question. I think that we can demand of our politicians as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just curious, actually, about, you know, when the film was actually released, right? It was before the 14th elections, right? What sort of reactions did you get? Because I remember, you know, here on BFM, when we did anything critical of Pakatan, and I'm not saying this film is critical, but, you know, it questioned it, right? Yeah. While we were branded like, you know, enemies, like, you know, your BN supporters. And that's not our point. We weren't supporters of anyone. We were just trying to, you know, show both sides, right? But I was curious if you got that as well.
I don't think so. I don't remember. In fact, I've had invitations from Pakatan Harapan leaders to screen the film for their supporters and for their voters.
Okay. That's good to hear.
I think on their side they kind of saw it, and then they saw the film for what it was, and it was actually aimed for Pakatan Harap people people who had supported Pakatan Harapan, or at least people who didn't support Barisan Nasional, right? And mm-hmm. and were trying to figure out whether or not we want to support Pakatan Harapan or whether we want to support PAS. I think the one regret of this film is that it did not allocate enough time to the question of PAS lah.
Mm.
Because PAS was also, like, say, another dynamic in the landscape.
Yeah.
So, but no, I didn't get much negative reaction. Okay. But then at the same time, I mean, you know, at that time a lot of people in Pakatan Harapan were focus on campaigning itself, right? Focus on building the nuts and bolts of the machinery. So they probably not many of them probably watched the films. But those who did watch it said that, you know, they appreciated it, and they invited me to screen the film and to have discussions with their supporters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely fair, of course. I'm just curious, like, we got that over here, you know. But anyway, you know, for anyone who's going to come to the film for the first time, you know, in this current climate, you know, in November 2021, what do you hope they will take away from it? Especially, yeah, you know, we know GE15 is looming. You know, what do you hope they will take away from it?
I think it's. I wouldn't say that the situation is the same. Right, the alliances are of course different. The political parties are different, but I think the message is about the same, and that is not to give up hope, not to give up in the process of finding hope. Because once you do that, then there is really no future, and then you only have two options: whether or not, you know, you just stop fighting for what is right, stop believing in the fact that you can have a better Malaysia for you and your children.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, leaving this country. But then, you know, in the process of giving up and in the process of also running away and finding a better place, you know, those decisions also have to have a measure of hope, right? You have to hope that, okay, you know, I'm going to work with whoever, or I'm going to support whichever political parties that's going to help me. You also hope that that political party will be the right choice. And if you want to go to another country, you also hope that you'll be able to have a future in that country.
Exactly.
So all of it is a process of hope as well. And I think, you know, for me at least, it's to hope for a better Malaysia, and to, I think, to quote a philosopher, his name escapes me right now, is not just to have a leap of faith, but to have a leap into faith, you know, to believe in the process of believing and having faith. Yeah. So I think, for Malaysians, that is basically the message of the film. To not give up hope and not to give up the process of finding hope, because it is important.
Yeah, because
no matter how difficult times are, because they are difficult, but okay, just to quote another political leader, you know, Lim Kit Siang quoting Subra Chandra Bose, it is always the darkest before dawn. The darkness is the most darkest before dawn, before the light comes.
How apt on the, you know, the day after Deepavali, isn't it? It's all about
yes.
light triumphing over darkness. So yes, let's not give up hope. And I know we're seeing it so much, right? You know, everybody is just like, what is the point? But no, the point is you cannot give up hope. Regardless, you have to keep fighting for what you believe in, whatever side you're on, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Sheridan Mahavira. He's a former journalist. He's the director of the film Saving Malaysia, which will be re-released this weekend on the Freedom Film Network's YouTube channel. So do go to their channel and, download the film or watch the film on YouTube. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/learn or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Pihak polis, pihak media dan pihak pendakwaan semua diguna pakai untuk memastikan Datuk Seri Anwar itu terpenjara. Dan tentunya bila masa saya melihat sendiri dari segi pemecatan, kemudian ditangkap dengan ala Gestapo dan dipukul dalam tahanan semasa diikat tangannya dan ditutup matanya oleh tidak lain tidak bukan Ketua Polis Negara. Saya diajar daripada peringkat awal jangan membenci peribadi Mahathir Mohamad. Saya diajar untuk membenci tindak tanduknya yang zalim. Jadi harus ada kesediaan daripada pihak kita untuk menyedari pertama, Perdana Menteri merupakan Datuk Seri Najib Razak. Kedua, dalam gabungan di mana kita memerlukan satu kesediaan untuk mereformasi sistem dalam ya keadaan di mana pilihan raya ini tidak adil, tidak terbuka, ya kita harus berani mengutamakan keperluan negara dan mengenepikan kesengsaraan peribadi.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.